Well, today is Mother's Day, so I thought I would take this opportunity that I hardly have. And last night we were having dinner, and about 8 o'clock my husband said, "Oh, you can preach tomorrow." And I said, "Oh, why is that?" And I said, "Oh, because it's Mother's Day." I said, "Oh, well, I've been so busy. This one mother has been busy all week. Supposed to be having holiday, but I've been so busy while he's so busy with his studies." So last night I went to bed. I keep hearing this word, "You should preach tomorrow." I thought, "Ah, I really don't like that last minute thing, because when I preach, it takes a whole 2 weeks to study and research." And but before I went to bed last night, I said, "God, if I get the opportunity to speak, to say something, what would you like me to say?" 2 years ago, I was doing my placement in Christchurch after the earthquake in Christchurch, and I visited people that their houses were damaged. They have to shift from their houses that they used to live and live together with another family. So there's about 6 or 7 or 13 people in one house. Everything was it went really wrong in Christchurch at that time. People were so fearful. People were so devastating. People were so lonely. People were almost like they just lost their hope. They, you know, when you look at them, there's nobody home because of the devastation that they went through, mentally and emotionally. It's just like they lost hope. And, the thing that I heard a lot, I mean, every time I talked to these people, went through the different homes. The thing that I heard, the phrase that I heard a lot, is that I wish I have to go back to the normal that I used to have. They said, "Oh, I hope we will go back to the normal that we used to have." You know, because this time that the schools were changed as well. That two school using the same facility. So one school, the one that owns the facility, will start at 9 o'clock and finish the school at 1 o'clock. And then another school that their building has destroyed by the earthquake, now they come and use the facility from 1 o'clock to 3 o'clock. So things were changed. Things were not normal anymore. And people, that's the phrase that people were crying out. They said, "Oh, we wish that we'll be going back to the normal Christchurch life that they used to have." People were no longer having their job. Some were having part-time, so they have a huge mortgage to pay, and that was not provided for them. People were just so devastating, and yet they wanted to go back to their normal, the normal life that they used to live before the earthquake. I was reminded by that phrase when the last 2 weeks we farewelled our mother, Pastor Eliafi's mom. The reason is that because she was the last one of that generation and his family, and of mothers and of parents and aunties and uncles. That's it. She was the last one. This guy here is now it. They are the one that's now in the younger generation are looking up for counseling, for everything, making decision. And I was so reminded about it's not going to be normal anymore. And the thing that God gave me about the message that God gave me when I was working with the with my chaplaincy in Christchurch is that God say they have to accept their new normal. Christchurch is not the same. It will never be the same anymore. They have to accept and receive their new normal. And the scripture that God gave me through that time and during that time and ever since that, for mothers, I'm speaking, this is the Mother's Day. And the guys, if you get anything out of it, God bless. But I'm talking to mothers today. And the scripture that comes to me is Psalm 37, and it says in verse 2, it says, "Trust in the Lord and do good." See, when you go through that time that your normal, your old normal is no longer in your hands, that you see that things are changing now. See, some of us mothers that, you know, you're going through an empty nest at the moment. I went through that. It was such a painful experience. You know, some of us, you know, we lost our dear husbands, or some of us, we lost our dear wives. You're going through a new normal that, you know, the somebody that used to be with you no longer be with you, and you're mourning the person as well. You're mourning the routine of things that you used to do for them and for them. And the Bible says, the God says, trust in the Lord. It's amazing when you trust in the Lord, because it says there that you shall dwell in the land and feed surely on His faithfulness. We need to trust in His faithfulness, to be confident in God's love, be confident in God's ability, that He will take care of you, that He will transition you to a new normal. Be confident in His abundance. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord that He will do you great things. Trust in the Lord that He will not leave you alone. He will not abandon you. He will feed you through what you're going through. Trust in the Lord is very important when from transitioning from your old normal to your new normal. And then the verse 4, it says, delight yourself in that period of time as transitioning from your old normal, which is no longer within your hold. Now you're not looking at where should I go? And the Bible says, delight yourself in the Lord. Make it as a sweet, it's a sweet relationship. It's like a drive. You know, make it as a drive that you delight yourself in the Lord. And a third one is commit your ways. See, a lot of times when the old normal, we kind of used to do our own thing, and we have our lives all patterned, we have our lives all set it up, and then bang, something happened. Without your control, something happened. And how are you going to face a new normal in your life? And the Bible says in verse 5, commit your ways. In other words, change drivers. Change drivers. Maybe you've been driving your car, your life, for, you know, the old normal. But now you're coming, you're facing a new normal. Let Jesus drive the car of your life. Let Jesus drive the car of your family. And then it comes to this one, which is, I know, this is a very hard one for us to do. But the Bible says we can do it. And it says, in verse 7, it says, be still and rest in God. Regardless of the circumstances, regardless of the future that is not clear, regardless of the path is so damaged, regardless of what you're going through at the moment, be still. Trust in God. Commit everything to God. Commit what is wrong and what is good. Commit to Him. And be still and rest in God. Wait upon Him. And patiently stay yourself upon Him. And just a little message, just a little talk to us mothers, talk to us grandmothers, whatever we're going through. And gentlemen, whatever you're going through, you're facing your new normal. Trust in the Lord. Delight yourself in the Lord. Commit your ways to the Lord. And be still and rest in God. Wait upon Him. Patiently stay yourself upon Him. And you will be okay. God bless. Happy Mother's Day.
Amen. Are you okay? My wife and I travel quite a lot. And many years ago, you just walk right through and get on the plane. Today, you go through security, and sometimes it's longer to go through security than to go to fly. And you get there and they say, take your shoes off, take your belt off, take your trousers off. You want to go naked to security and dress on the other side of security. But that's the new normal. It will never, ever go back to what it used to be. Many times in God, when God comes on the scene, He changes us from glory to glory. And many times we love where we are familiar. We want to go back here. Erie and Cary and Maltrina went over to the Gold Coast, and they write and said, we're so missing home. I said, stay there. Wait a little while. Why? Because you have to adjust yourself to a new norm. Hallelujah. When you get married, many people are scared spitless after they get married. They look forward to getting married, but after they get married, they realize they have somebody that they have to look after for the rest of their lives. And the first few months, you're scared spitless. Don't tell me I'm going to wake up beside this person for the rest of my life. Well, it's a new norm. You have to adjust yourself to it. And then children come. Hello? I don't care if you've got a nice figure. When you're pregnant, you're pregnant. And you're unbalanced. And things go wrong. You need to adjust yourself to a new norm. And when the children turn up, they clutter up the house and they said, what's going down? It's a new norm. But when they leave the home, it's another new norm. And constantly we have to adjust. Because if we are going to grow, we have to adjust ourselves to the new norms that God allows us to go through. When somebody passes away, it's a new norm. When their divorce comes, we know that we want to come and get married and stay married forever. But things happen and there's a breaking apart of families. And you have to adjust yourself. Hallelujah. But you don't do it alone. You do it with the power of the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. And some of you are, you've been married and you break up and you raise children on your own, things, and you have to constantly adjust. Hallelujah. Are you okay? Amen. I have to adjust. This now I'm it kind of thing. Praise the Lord. Some years ago, Tommy Barnett, if you don't know Tommy Barnett, he's a pastor in Phoenix, Arizona. And he's got a ministry, the Dream Center in Los Angeles, great facility. Ministered to the drug addicts with his son Matthew and his staff. And great, great pioneer of the faith, a father in the faith to many people. And when he first started pastoring, he would ring his father every Sunday night. His father was a retired minister, and ring his father, and he'll talk to his father. And his father was a soundboard, and they talk about things, and his father will tell him about this thing he could have done better, and the other thing he could have done, and this other thing. And then one day his father died. And he said to the Lord, Lord, why did you take my dad away? Now I've got nobody to talk to. And God said, well, I'm here. You can still talk to me. You were getting to the place where you were relying so much on your dad that you will get your counsel from him and every other, and all that is good. But sometimes we can rely so much on people, we forget to lean on the Lord. Trust in the Lord with half your heart and lean not all your heart, sorry, and lean not unto your own understanding. Hallelujah. So he shared that to a conference in Honolulu, Hawaii, about his relationship with his father, and now his father's gone, and his ministry where he leaned on his dad. And he shared from John chapter 4 about the woman at the well. And the woman at the well encountered God. And God challenged him, you need to encounter me the same way that woman encountered me. That woman was relying, and she said, on things of the past, her tradition. Our fathers worship on this mountain. He said, you worship in Jerusalem. What's going on? And she encountered the Lord. And so God challenged him, and he shared that at the conference. And he was going out to catch his flight. His speaking slot is finished. And he got up first thing in the morning, and he was driving to the airport. Somebody was driving him to the airport. And he got up, it's still dark, and he said he got out of his hotel, and he heard a couple of people, you know, maybe somebody was talking, murmuring, and noise in the background. And as he walked out, he began to realize that the noise was getting a bit louder and louder. So he decided to walk onto the beach where the noise was coming from. And when he walked out to the beach, the whole conference, these pastors and their wives, without telling each other, they all got up in the morning and walked out to the beach, crying out to God for an encounter with God. Hallelujah. God allows us to go to new norms, and when we get there, many of us want to go back. Can you understand why God had to close the Red Sea? Because if He didn't close the Red Sea, the whole people will never leave Egypt. They will go back to Egypt. Why? Because they did not like the new norm. They are used to what they were used to. And sometimes we are comfortable where we are comfortable. People that want to get saved, they know they need to get saved, but they don't want to get saved. And when they get to the judgment seat, they say, but I... Because you don't want to adjust to the new norm. Hello? Hallelujah. Well, it's Mother's Day. That's not my message. I was just talking. I want to talk about two mothers in the Bible. And, I'll talk about my mother first. Is that all right? I had two mothers. My birth mother married at 17. And she comes from a very lowly family. Very insignificant family. There was nothing special about her family. If anybody passed away, nobody notices. But she married my dad. My father was the son of a minister, a bishop in a whole district of churches. They had nine children. The last two of them were stillborn. She raised us on nothing. She didn't have a job. She's just a housewife. And if you understand the life in Samoa, you don't rely on money. You just lean on yourself, the things that you plant, your plantation, and the domestic animals that you feed, and your fishing skill, and that kind of thing. And she raised seven children. Hallelujah. And some of those children are pastors, headmasters, lecturers at university, business women. From this lowly woman. My mother was not a leader. My mother was a follower. When my dad died and we grew up, my mother followed us. What we said, she did. But she was not a leader in that sense. My mother was a follower. But a lovely mother. Her grandchildren are doctors and PhDs and businesswomen from this lowly follower. She was not a leader. My father died when I was a few months from my 12th birthday. So when he died, I was adopted by my father's youngest brother. My youngest brother was adopted by my auntie. So I grew up with two fathers and two mothers. And my second mom just passed away 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago. That one was different. My adopted mother was a leader. She was strong. She would lead men. She would lead our family. She will direct the flow of traffic in everything that happened in our family. My father was a doctor, and he had a wage. And looking at the books today, he did not make a lot of money even as a doctor. I think all the doctors had earned the same wage at the time. But my mother will build the family on a shoestring budget because of her leadership skills. And when she died, many people came from all over the place to pay tribute to my mother, because she was a strong leader, a steady leader. Everything she did, she will take a lead. It does not matter whether my mom gets into something. When she gets there, she will lead. She will just take it over. That's just the way she was. And she raised us the same way. If you come home to my mom with a degree, it may be the top degree. She said, leave your degree at the door. This is our home. And I run this home. I've got a brother with a PhD from Townsville, James Cook University. When he comes home, nobody at home thinks that my brother is a doctor. Why? Because the way my mother is, everybody is the same, and she directs the traffic. She passed away a few weeks ago. Now I have to direct that traffic. Hallelujah. In the Bible, there are two women in the Old Testament. One of them was Deborah, and Deborah was a great leader. In the time when women were not leaders, this woman was a great leader. She was a judge in Israel. In a male-dominated society, this woman stood up as a mother in Israel and said, I'll lead the nation. And every man at the time will rise and sit at her command, and she summoned Barak because the nation was in need. And he said, Barak, you're going to lead the attack against the enemy. And Barak said, I can't do that. I can't do that unless you lead the charge. And there are men that will never mount their horses until the women mount the horses. Ladies, don't belittle yourself. Don't sell yourself short. If God has given you a leadership gifting, you need to mount your horses, because there are men that are looking at you that will never go to battle until you lead the charge. And there are mothers here, you may be thinking I'm insignificant, but you are raising a family. You're raising boys and girls that will make an impact in the world if you will do your job well. Mount your horses, you Deborahs. Deborah said, Barak, if I lead the charge, you will not get the glory, because it wouldn't be a man that will be honored. It'll be a woman. Now, she was not talking about herself. She was talking about another woman. The enemy's general, Sisera, came with 900 iron chariots and fought the battle and got defeated, ran away on foot, and came to the tent of Jael. I like that. Here's the general come in and ask for water, and she gave him milk. Covered him with a blanket, said, if they come, tell them I'm not here. And she took a tent peg and a hammer and drove the tent peg through his head. That's a great picture of what God prophesied to Eve in the garden, that your seed will crush the head of the serpent. And here is a woman like Eve crushing the head of a serpent. Hallelujah. Eve's, Deborah's, mothers, women, you can crush the head of the serpent if you will trust God with the gifting that God has given to you. You can raise the honor of the nation, the honor of your family, even with a shoestring budget. You can crush the enemy's head with a tent peg and a normal hammer, because that's what God has given into your hands. Be a great mother. Some of you young people, you need to love your mother. You need to honor your mother. Hallelujah. Amazing, when you're young, you think your mother's stupid. And then when you have a wife or have a husband, it's amazing how wise your mother was. Unfortunately, sometimes by the time you rise up to honor her, she's gone. Do it while she lives. Hallelujah. Are you okay? And there was another woman. She was a mother. And she wasn't a leader. She was a follower. And she was following one day, and her mother said to her, don't follow me. And she said to her mother, don't entreat me to go back. Where you go, I'll go. Where you stay, I'll stay. Your God shall be my God. Your people shall be my people. Where you die, I'll die. Don't tell me to go back. Hush, mother. And Ruth had to adjust to a new norm. She had to come from Moab, had to adjust to the fact that now her husband is dead, had to adjust to the fact that there's only her and her mother-in-law left. She's going to a nation whose laws are very different, whose God is only one. Every other nation had more than one God. This nation had one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God and He's one. She came. She went to the field. She had to adjust to everything. She was not a leader. She's just following. Now you read the scriptures, and we shared it before, I'll share it again. The greatest example of a son in the Bible is Jesus Christ. The second greatest example of a son in the Bible is not a boy, it's a girl. They said of Ruth, this woman that has come to you that is better than seven sons. Here is a woman who's better than seven boys. Hallelujah. One was a leader in Deborah. The other one was a follower. Both took their places in God. One was not greater than the other. Ruth. Hallelujah. Gave birth to Obed. Obed gave birth to Jesse. Jesse gave birth to David. David gave birth to the Savior of the planet. A follower. Hallelujah. Two women in Samoa, two women in the Old Testament, and two women in the New. Elizabeth was a follower. Elizabeth, you read the story of Elizabeth, and the Bible has not much to say about Elizabeth. Has a little bit more to say about Elizabeth's husband. His name was Zechariah. But it has a lot to say about Elizabeth's son. John the Baptist, the man who bridged the generations, who bridged the old and the new, a man who was the forerunner of the Messiah, the man who preached that message on repentance, the axe is laid to the root of the tree, every tree that does not bear fruit is going to be cut down, thrown in the fire. Prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Elizabeth was not a leader. When Elizabeth was pregnant, she went away and hide. Why? She's not used to leading. First of all, she wanted to run away and hide because she was pregnant, and she ran away and hide because she's pregnant and old. Hello? How would you like to be the age of a great-great-grandmother and then you got pregnant? People begin to ask questions. But Mary was a different category. Mary was a leader. Mary was a leader. Mary was a leader who led herself. You say, how do you say that, Pastor? Well, you have to be powerfully strong inside to handle a pregnancy in that culture, especially when you're not married. Because in that culture, they stone people like that. And for her to stand and resist the ridicule, the things that people were saying, she has to have strength within. God desires truth in the inward parts. It's not how you are outside, it's how you are inside. When things come crashing in, can the inside man stand? Can the inside girl stand? Can the inside mother stand? Hello? And it's not known when everything is hunky-dory. It's known when through the storm, He is Lord, Lord of all. You have to be a great leader to handle that pressure. You also have to be a great leader to carry the Savior of the planet. Hallelujah. Now, the historians the researchers tell me that the fact that God found a virgin in that part of the world was a miracle. So she had to have personal strength as a leader to stay a virgin. God found favor in you, the angel said. You had to have strength as a leader to be a virgin. Especially when the morality of today is going down the gurgler on roller skates. Everyone wants to marry a virgin, but no one wants to stay a virgin. The young girls running around trying to lose their virginity, and young boys running around trying to find a girl to bed. You have to have strength inside. You have to have virtue inside to be able to handle that in that culture. And when the prophet prophesied over her, he said, your own soul will be pierced with a sword. Have to have a powerful leader to be a powerful leader to give birth to a baby in the condition of the trip to be censored under Augustine. And have to have strength to give birth in a stable. You may glamorize an Eastern stable, but you haven't been to one, have you? Terrible. Stinks. Shocking. Many times when we go away, we stay in nice places. Other times we go away, we stay in places you wouldn't even... And we've stayed in some of those places. I tell the young people I've slept with rats and cockroaches and eating things I don't want to ask whatever. But they said to me, have you eaten a dog? Well, I said, I know I've eaten a dog. Have you eaten a cat? I said, I'm pretty sure I have. But don't... Whatever is laid before you, pray for it. Don't ask questions. My daughter was eating octopus. She did not even know she was eating octopus. I said, did you like that? She said, what was that? Octopus. I said, now it's your favorite dish, isn't it? We went to a trip overseas one time, and they put us in a hotel in Honolulu, and we got to the room, and people said, go back and ask them to give you another room. I said, no, this will be fine. We stayed there. It was lovely. Then we went to another place, and the place was packed. There was no hotels left. There was a telecommunication company who converged in this particular city, and they took up every room in every hotel. But we found a room And we went in there, and my wife said, look. I said, honey, the stable is a million times better than this. See things in perspective. We stayed in that room, and the curtain was so terrible, I had to take the curtains down. The owner of the hotel came by with her workers and looked, and there was no curtain. And she looked inside, threw through the glass window, and saw me mending the curtains. I had to hang the curtains up on Sunday afternoon, and they looked marvelous. Hallelujah. You have to be a great leader to raise sons like Mary did. Joseph was great. I could preach about Joseph, but this is not Father's Day. It's Mother's Day. But she had to be a great leader to stand there and watch her son die. Watch her son crucified and watch her son naked while they crucified him. Three sets of women. Leader, follower. Leader, follower. Leader, follower. Regardless of the gifting God has given to you, you're not rewarded greater as a leader than a follower. You receive a reward that is given of God, And if you're faithful to whatever God has given to you, whether it's one boy, two girls, or whatever, if you will do your job as a mother, if you do your job as a father, if you do your job as a parent, if you as a child learn to honor your father and mother, it shall be well with you. A lot of young people want to do well, but they dishonor the very one that will give them that. It shall be well with you. Ruth was rewarded. Deborah was rewarded. Mary was rewarded. Elizabeth was rewarded. Regardless of whether you lead or follow, if you do it in God, if you do it for His glory, if you do it in His name, if you use your gift for His kingdom, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all the other things will be added. Hallelujah. My time is up. Have a great lunch. Happy Mother's Day. Goodbye.